Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our weekly bracket rundown show. I'm Chad Sherwood up here, joined by David Griggs, John Stalica, and John Tytel. And this is the show where we build, this week what we're doing is going back to our format where we build a seed list on the air. I guess we'll start off with some definitions, though, before we pull up the seed list. And David, what is a seed list?
It's essentially, it ranks the 68 teams in the tournament 1 through 68, and then it ultimately determines which seed a team gets. So right. 1 through 4 would be the 1 seeds, 5 through 8 would be the 2, and so on. In its most simplistic form, it's that. We are doing it a little differently. We are building the seed list as we select the teams. The committee does; they select the teams first, typically, and then seed them. If we were to do that, it would take about 18 hours, and we're trying to keep the show under 10 hours.
10 hours. I hope for a few less than 10 hours, actually. Yeah. A couple of terms that we're going to be using during the course of the night include the term protected seed, which basically means the top 4 seed lines, the teams that are favored to go to the Sweet 16. We're going to use bubble teams, our teams that are on the brink of being in or out. I think those are a few of the terms. Any other terms I missed?
First ballot, it basically means you're in the tournament regardless. You're in the top half of the bracket.
Yeah. It's probably at least the top 7 lines, maybe the top 8 seed lines.
Yeah.
But on that note, let's go ahead and first pull up the
pull
screen
it up. Here. And a couple other things. This is what we think it should look like if the season ended today. We're not trying to guess the actual committee. It will not be unanimous. We'll throw each other around. John Tytel arbitrating tonight. I'll be yelling at him. Everybody will be yelling at him whenever he does something I don't think he should. But it's all in good fun, and we hope it's good television.
Yeah, in the past weeks, I've been the arbitrator. I've gotten thrown out of that job because I refused to put Gonzaga on the one line for all these weeks, I believe, because they deservedly still do not belong there. But on that note, though, I'm going to turn everything over to Mr. Tytel here to run the show however he feels fit, and we'll start seeing teams pop up as he calls on each of us. John, take it away.
Thank you, Chad. It's an honor. So what we're going to do is, because John's my favorite name, we're going to have John start us off. I think there's a lot of teams in play for the one line. Some are near locked, but I think that there's some wiggle room. So, Stalica, can I get 4 for the one line, please?
I think the first 3 are going to be pretty straightforward, and that's going to be Duke, Virginia, and Tennessee. And even though I hate agreeing with the puppet, I do think Gonzaga is playing a little better of late right now compared to teams like Kentucky, the 2 Michigan schools, and North Carolina.
Yes. Gonzaga doesn't have losses. If we were to pull their amazing resume up, you'd be able to see that they have 2 losses on the year, both 2 teams that will probably end up on the top 2 lines, and neither were at home and neither were at full strength. There's nobody else that we will look at that can say that, and that's also beaten a protected seed away from home.
I guess I want to jump in here, though, because I still don't agree Gonzaga is a 1 seed as of right now. I still believe they will get there because I don't believe they'll lose again. But Tytel, I like this Michigan profile. I have heard it's on the right a lot better. They've beaten Carolina, Purdue, 3 nice road wins. All that Gonzaga has done is beat Duke and a bunch of garbage.
Well, I like bourbon, and I just can't have that all the time, apparently.
Chad, you make a good point. I think that it comes down to a couple of things. One, non-conference strength of schedule, which is usually against Gonzaga because nobody wants to play them. This year, compared to Michigan, they're head and shoulders above them. The metrics are pretty close, and no shame in losing to 2 teams who are going to make the tournament on the road, but also no shame in losing to another 1 seed and a possible 2 seed we'll see shortly. So, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to give Gonzaga the edge here.
It's about time. I already love Tytel as an arbitrator. It's about time we got someone in that role that knew what they were doing. My only thing is I think Gonzaga should be even further up the list than the 4th number 1.
But, Chad, I'll throw you a bone. The 2 line is all yours. Take it away, sir.
Well, I already mentioned Michigan. Obviously, I would have them at the top of the 2 line here. Beyond them, I like Kentucky next, yes. Then North Carolina, and then despite back-to-back losses, I still think Michigan State's a 2 seed. They were a 1 seed before the back-to-back losses, even though they were inexplicable losses.
Well, those are the teams I had. But if that's who Chad has, then I don't want Michigan State on the two line. I want Louisville up there.
Salika, any choice between the Spartans versus the Cardinals for the two line?
I'm not going to put too much stock into the losses right now, even though it's a little bit out of character for Michigan State and certainly not a good trend, especially with Illinois looking like they could be wavering anywhere from tier two to tier three, depending on which metric you decide to look at. Louisville is certainly a tempting team to consider when they have two wins on the road in the top 12 against North Carolina and now Virginia Tech. I'll stick with the Spartans for now, but they are not trending in the right direction.
That's actually three losses in the row. I think I said two. It is three losses in the row for the Spartans.
Yeah, I still really like this Michigan State team, and initially I had them up there. And, well, Chad took the profile down before I could make my point. Thanks a lot, Chad.
There you go.
Like I was relying on that visual there, Chad, of all the quad one wins that they have. But then when you look over at Louisville and you see the win at Virginia Tech and at North Carolina, I did check this. No one else has two true road wins against top 25 teams. So that is something that I think is a distinction for Louisville. And if you were going to make the argument that they did belong on the two, that would be what I would make. Still really impressive, 5-2 in true road wins. And when three of the five, or two of the five anyway, are against teams that will probably end up as protected seeds, I think that that's amazing. There are one seeds that typically don't get more than one true road win against a protected seed on occasion, and here's Louisville with two. Last year, Xavier didn't have any.
Well, I get to break the tie, and since Michigan State lost to Louisville, we're going to put Louisville ahead of Michigan State on the two line.
Tell it, tell an amazing arbitrator.
So let's put the Spartans on the three line. David, can I get three more picks for the three line besides Sparty?
Yeah, and this one is going to be surprising, and I'm going to have to push for him a little bit. I have Whiskey all the way up here. They've won six in a row. What they've done away from home and who they've done it against has been really impressive, I think. And I also have Iowa State. I know that might seem a little high, but I just, again, what they've done and what they've done away from home. And believe it or not, I know I was dogging them big time, but when I look at the top of their profile, the good on their profile is really, really good. I have the Boilers all the way up on the three line.
Yes, Chad.
You got to give me a minute because I got to find Wisconsin on my seed list before I.
They're so far down, you can't even find them.
No, they are. Well, again,
I do agree with David about Iowa State. I think that this, you know, that. This may be the best team in the Big 12 right now. When you compare some of these profiles of the way Kansas is playing and the way, and now that they're even more shorthanded than they had been. But Wisconsin, I don't get them on the three line. I think they're playing great, but they weren't playing great all season. And to be a three seed, I think you can't be losing at home to Minnesota and at Western Kentucky. And they've got some top 25 road wins, but they're not that great of road wins.
Well, the win at Iowa, I think, is really good.
I would have gone with Houston here, John. I would have had the Cougars, especially off their dominating performance tonight at UCF.
Well, some of us were proactive and put this together before the dominant performance, John.
I would also offer a counterpoint to what Chad had just mentioned. Wisconsin did make up for the Minnesota result by winning at the Barn last night. And they also have won six games in a row to at least get a little bit of momentum going into the heart of conference play.
Yeah, they're typically – I think what I can't get past is just the win at Iowa I really like. And the win at Nebraska, I know Nebraska has kind of crashed into a mountain. The dark web has taken hold, but they won there at a time when Nebraska was at full strength and playing really well. And then the win at Mini last night was pretty good. And the other thing, Chad, 6-3 in true road games. I think that's pretty good. 8 wins away from home.
All right. Well, John.
Well, Dark Web Titel is saying that Wisconsin is not going to be up on the three line, unfortunately.
Titel? Why the hell is Titel arbitrating? Who the hell made him the arbitrator?
I will take one replacement vote from each of Chad and John, please, for Wisconsin.
My replacement vote would be Houston.
Do you guys agree with Purdue? I didn't think you all would, but...
Well, I thought Wisconsin was more offensive than Purdue, quite honestly. No, I wouldn't have had Purdue. I probably would have had Villanova up here also. But
given that Houston had a nice double-digit win at Central Florida last night, I would concur with the Cougars on the three line here.
Houston, we do not have a problem. You are on the three line. And to David, if you look at Louisville's metrics versus Purdue's, you'll see Purdue's better at every single metric than Louisville. So I have zero problem with them on the three line.
Okay, good.
Back to John. I assume we're going to get Whiskey on the four line, and if so, give me three others.
I can agree with Wisconsin on the four line right here, and I'll add in both of the Big East teams right here in Marquette and Villanova. I probably would have had Marquette on the three if not for a little bit of a surprising home loss against the Johnnies, which is actually two wins by St. John's over Marquette. And with Kansas slipping up on the road again, I'm going to go ahead and add Nevada as my other team.
Interesting. Well, I applaud you on one thing, John, not having Kansas up here. Or at least I thought I was going to have to fight them off the two line.
Dad, what do you think of the four line?
I'm not totally offended by it. I probably would still have Kansas in over Nevada, but I understand just because of how much they did earlier in the season. But, you know, that Kansas, I think if you look at what the team is right now, it's not a protected seed. It's looking like a third or fourth best team in the Big 12 at best right now.
Yeah.
But you know, looking at those two top net wins away from home against Tennessee and Michigan State is so hard for me to overlook on also. So it's tough ball.
So you threw Kansas out there. Titel, I'm going to make your job really hard and crowd this up even more. I've got the team that's two games ahead of Kansas in the standings and that just beat them. I got K-State up ahead of Kansas. And I also have Va Tech in this mix too, not ahead of Kansas, but ahead of Nevada.
I do love the head-to-head. Does anybody have any Kansas breaking news they want to share, perhaps?
I saw your email. I was busy, and I wasn't sure that they're not going to win the Big 12, but I wasn't sure what the reasoning was. Did something happen?
Let me jump in. Basically, Gerald Vick announced like an hour ago from where we are right now live that he's going to take a leave of absence from the team to deal with some family issues. I think somebody interviewed his mother and said it's going to be about or at least 2 weeks. So I'm not saying to absolutely throw in the towel, but for the first time in a long time, I feel confident saying that Kansas is not going to win the Big 12, which I haven't said in a long time.
I don't ever remember saying that. I'm sure I did at some point, but,
well, and you kind of have to put, if they're going to lose it like this, you kind of have to put an asterisk by it, because not only did we think they were the best team in the Big 12, we thought they were the best team, period. And they were. Coming into the year before the injury, before the eligibility issue, and now they have a third key player that they're going to be missing. So it takes a lot to knock Kansas off the top spot. But anyway.
Well, I think we have to keep Wisconsin. I like the Big East team. So I'll take from each of you if you have a pick for Nevada, Kansas, or Kansas State for the last team on the four line, please.
I'll tell you what, I've actually been convinced to change my mind on this one. I'll go with David and go with K-State over Kansas over Kansas and Nevada.
Yeah, that would be my vote. I would have that same line, but K-State in the 16 spot.
John?
I will stick with my pick for Nevada, although I can tell I'm probably going to be overruled here.
You are, but it's nice to see you sticking with your guns. Let's get rid of the Wolfpack, slide them to the five line. Kansas State jumps up to the four line by virtue of their great win over the Jayhawks. So I think that Chad has the five line. I'm going to put Nevada and Kansas there unless you're opposed. And if you're not opposed, I'll need two more for the five line.
No, I absolutely agree that Nevada and Kansas would be the next two teams. Yeah. Beyond them, I'm going to go with a team that I think has played really well, that, that was highly rated at the beginning of the season. Now it's kind of coming back. I'm going to go Florida State here.
Wow. I thought I had them high.
And then my other team is back in the Big Ten. I would go Iowa on the strength of that huge win over Michigan.
David, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, he would be right had he said Virginia Tech and LSU, but he didn't, so he's wrong.
I would have had Virginia Tech and LSU both in the next line, so I would have had them close to this. But
Florida State's an interesting pick. They're really playing well now, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them play their way up here. Right now, LSU is just white hot, and Virginia Tech, as hard as I was on them, being a protected seed, I think this is about the range that they belong in. They're not a top 10 team, but I do think they're 20-ish, so bottom of the five, top of the six. I just happen to have them a little bit higher than Florida State.
And, yeah, just despite the fact that Florida State beat them head-to-head on a neutral court. Okay, thank you, David.
Yeah, despite that, because of the other 18 games, Chad, there were 18 other games. I also have Duke ahead of Syracuse, Chad, as shocking as that may be.
Okay. I would agree with you on that one, but
yeah. John, if we need an ACC team for the five line, are you leaning Seminoles or Hokies or somebody else?
Even though they did lose head-to-head, I still would probably go with LSU right here. They did have a nice bounce-back win at Mississippi State. Of course, one of the other things I would also look at if I were comparing LSU and Florida State side-by-side, I think the worst losses for LSU would both be in Tier 2. Let's not forget the Noles also had a loss at Boston College recently as well.
Yeah, I'd like to forget that, but I just can't unremember it.
They've won four in a row. They had a nice win at Syracuse, blew them out.
Yeah, they did.
I like Florida State. And David, you're the one that was saying Virginia Tech's profile was weak all season, so.
Yeah, I was. But I don't ever recall saying Florida. Well, I said it was weak, relatively speaking, relative to the two other protected seeds. I think this is about where they belong. I think it's a little bit stronger. It'll populate here in a second. Let's look at them again. Purdue on a neutral court beating Purdue at home. Honestly, I think the one thing that had me holding my nose was they're pretty close. I got to admit.
They did do something to NC State that was ridiculous. I'll give you credit for that.
Yeah.
24 points.
I still want to go with Virginia Tech because I do not want to admit that Chad was right.
It's so we're going to get Nevada and Kansas. Since Florida State has beaten LSU, we're going to put Florida State over them. I'll take from each of you one name, please, for the last team in the five line. Do you like Va Tech, LSU, or Iowa?
Are we calling the roll here? Well, I'll go first, and I'll go with the correct team, and that is LSU.
I'll recorrect that to the team that's on the left there, which is Iowa. Beat with wins over Michigan and Iowa State, and no losses out of the top quadrant.
John?
I think with a tie-breaking vote, I will also take the Bayou Bengals of LSU.
Yes, this is just a wonderful panel. Of course, Tytel could overrule everybody.
Like majority Chad. Rules. Let's go with the Bayou.
All right.
That will put Iowa on the sixth line. I assume that will also put Va Tech on the sixth line. We're up to David. If you agree, I need two other teams for the sixth line, please.
Okay. Let's see. Do we have the – yeah, the Noles are in. I'm fixing my notes. I'm sorry. Okay. Fear the Turtle. I have the Terps up here, and it's a weak profile, but when you get down to it, I still like the team. Maybe I'm going too much eye test. I still have Texas Tech up here.
I agree with him 100%, and I really hate that I did that.
John, any disagreements?
Not on this line so far, but I would also be looking at a team like Baylor who's going to be knocking on the door as well.
As we like to keep things moving, hearing no objections, we'll keep the sixth line as is. Very good, David. John wants Baylor on the 7 line plus 3 more teams, please.
Besides Baylor, this is where I'm going to go ahead and add Washington. On the strength of their win tonight, I am also going to add the Cincinnati Bearcats. And even though they did lose a tough game at home, I will still go ahead and add Mississippi State right here.
Ooh.
Just to clarify, Washington has not yet won tonight, even though they're up 8 points with 4 minutes left. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, John, they haven't won yet. What about – there's a team I got to throw out there that just won a huge road game.
God, I agree with him again. I hate this.
The Johnny. I like them better than just about everyone he mentioned. And there, the thing about the Johnnies was that I thought they'd played well, but the best thing you could say was that there was nothing bad. Well, now there is something very, very good, that win at Marquette, two wins against Marquette, and then some other decent road wins as well.
I agree with you, but the team – I would have to say John's probably at the bottom of the line, but the team I would bounce out that sleek, but it will be Cincinnati, actually. I still don't see any meat on the profile despite the win tonight at Memphis. Okay, big deal. You should be winning at Memphis if you're a tournament team. And yeah, that East Carolina thing is glaring, and nobody that's in the field yet have they beaten.
We are kind of going along at a good pace here. So Cincinnati, one of those teams, along with Buffalo, along with perhaps Nevada, who we already put in, it's kind of hard to place teams with these bloated profiles, but decent wins, not really big wins. And that's kind of how I look at Cincinnati. I mean, yeah, winning at Memphis is okay. Winning at Temple is good. Winning at Ole Miss, neutral floor, good. But there isn't anything – the top of their profile doesn't touch anybody that we've really put into the bracket so far, at least not the top of the profile. But, God, what a bloated, amazing record.
Yeah, 20-3. I agree with you there.
And
they're also going to have a big chance coming up at Houston to possibly add to that profile.
Yeah, now if they get that one, I think it's suddenly easier to measure them. Let me ask you this, Chad. If without the East Carolina loss, would you like them more?
Yeah, I mean, how can you say you won like a team more if you got rid of a quadrant four loss, David? Of course I would like them more if they have lost.
It sort of fades into the background. I mean, it's one game out of
– You know what? If the Johnnies had won at Duke, I would like them more too. Yeah, of course.
Well, just clarifying. Okay. Sometimes I never know with you.
I would just comment, Sleeka, you putting Washington on this line, I wanted them on the 7 line also, and I thought that I was going to be laughed at for having them this high. So I kind of
I think you all are way, way off. I had Washington at the top of my 8 line.
Okay.
So very, very close. I'm not as big on Baylor. I mean, I didn't have them – I had them – Washington and Baylor were the two top teams on the 8 line. I really, really like how they're playing, though. I could see putting them here. It wouldn't be crazy.
So these are John's four. Chad, which of these four would you boot, if any?
I would boot Cincinnati and replace them with St. John's.
David, which of the four would you boot?
Probably Baylor. I think it would be Cincinnati. The more I look at it, Baylor, the top of their profile is just really good, and they're playing really well, and they're tied for first.
And let's give Stalika a slap in the face and get rid of Cincinnati. Thank you, East Carolina. You can blame them, not us. Chad and David, give me one team you'd replace them with again, please.
The Johnnies.
Johnnies.
Done and done.
You sweep my assure track. You, I am not complaining over that.
Yeah.
That will put, I assume, Cincinnati on Chad's 8 line, and if so, we're going to need 3 more teams, please.
All right, I'm up here. Cincinnati. Okay, I will throw in here Buffalo. I still think this team needs to be wearing white, although barely. A very, very, very schizophrenic Syracuse team, and Minnesota will be my final team on this line.
No.
I hear an objection.
Well, my objection is that that's my 8 line.
This is ridiculous, David. How do we agree so much?
Well, okay, since he has Syracuse up there, I mean, you got to look at it. You got to look at how schizophrenic they are. You got to knock them off and put Ohio State up there. Just to be
congratulations, you want to reward a team that just barely beat bottom feeding Penn State at home?
No, I just don't want. I just don't want to agree with Chad.
That is the reason he does. He does everything.
Yeah. I'll put Syracuse and Ohio State up. I mean, and David, once again, Syracuse won at Ohio State.
Damn it! I had Syracuse up there initially, so.
So I'll give it back to you guys here, but I stick it with my four teams at this point.
John, would you keep all four or boot one?
I would keep all four teams on there, but we may have some debate among under-the-radar teams. Could Wofford possibly supersede Buffalo in the upcoming weeks based on how both of them played, because Wofford did pick up a big win at East Tennessee State tonight.
That is a really, really good point. I'll say that I have Wofford not in the top half of the bracket, but very, very, very close.
And Tytel, I know you're not as big as some of these under-the-radar schools, but quite honestly, I would have had Wofford number 33 overall. I would have had them at the very top of my
list.
They would have been my next team.
Oh, I like them, and I think that if they win out, they're going to end up as a top 8 seed just because of the sheer number of wins and few losses they're going to have. I agree right now that they're not a top 8 seed, and since Syracuse did beat Ohio State, I'm going to go with Syracuse over the Buckeyes.
Okay, then we're leaving that alone.
That will bring us to David for the 9 line. The two we have under consideration, as you can see, are Ohio State and Wofford. Your choice as to whether you like them here or not.
I do. I have them in that order, and I also have another team that's kind of a paper tiger, but I think that they're less bad than a lot of teams below them. I have Ole Miss, and I also have Lipscomb all the way up here.
So now that we're hitting the 9 line, Chad, I would like you to put a couple of teams under consideration, if you could, from bigger conferences, just so we can see how they stack up. Because while I agree that we might have to start putting some mid-majors in, just because we're running out of good high-major teams, if you can throw up a couple resumes, the two that catch my eye are Auburn and Oklahoma, just so we can see how the metrics stand up, please.
I like the fact that those are the two you asked me to throw up there also, Auburn and Oklahoma, especially –
I am not
More so maybe that Auburn team that just because the metrics are so good on them, and that's what it's a really puzzling profile in my opinion.
So John, of the 9 line, would you stick with Auburn? Would you stick with those four? Or do you think Auburn, Oklahoma, or somebody else deserves a shot at the 9 line?
I would have had Ole Miss over Auburn myself, so I'm not going to disagree there. But by the same token, I would question Lipscomb being up there this early. They do have some great wins, including TCU and SMU on there, but at the same time, I don't think I can put a team like Oklahoma in front of them, but a team like Texas or Auburn, maybe I might be a little more palatable towards either of those two.
I'm not as big on Oklahoma, and I know that this is a categorical reason, and in one of my rules is that you shouldn't look at anything categorically, but because it is my rule, I'm allowed to break it. Oklahoma being 4 games under 500 is just categorically not even in the tournament. They are in my field, but I didn't have them up there. And Chad, can we pull up that profile? Okie.
Okay.
And that would be 4 games under in the Big 12.
Yeah,
just
in the
to
Big
clarify.
12. Yeah, and it. I mean, it has happened, and there's nothing that says that it can't happen again. I mean, it's not an unwritten rule or anything. But at TCU, bubblish at best.
That's
Lipscomb also. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
There's Oklahoma now.
Wofford at home. Oklahoma has not even beaten anybody that's in the field, home or away, or solidly in the field, unless we put Wofford in here, which I have a feeling that we will. I just don't see anything there to offset the fact that they are 3-7 in conference, and I just can't get past that.
I personally agree with David about that 3-7 in conference is really, really rough. And I mean, it tells me they've got to get red hot against a tough schedule with trips to Baylor, Texas Tech at home, trips to Iowa State still. I don't know how they get there, but if you say where they are right now, I think they are in. These two, I would definitely take Auburn over Oklahoma. And I understand that Auburn-Lipscomb argument also, which funny is this is the blind resume that we played Monday night, and we also discussed it on Under the Radar last night. And I think that there was, that those are – my whole point with the blind resume Monday night was that they are very similar profiles. I do agree, though, that Auburn by a slight edge is better than Lipscomb still.
Oh, for – what the – I will say this about Auburn, as someone that's been beating them up all year, at least they've looked good against good teams last week. They, granted, they were at home, but they looked good against teams that were decent, and they hadn't done that up until yet last week.
So this is David's 4 for the 9 line. Chad, remind us how many of these you would take out.
I would the only two I would take out is Lipscomb and replace them with Auburn.
John, your thoughts?
I would agree with Chad on both teams right there.
Everyone that's wrong. It's just everyone being wrong. It's not the bracket rundown.
The dark web majority rules, as always.
That's what it is.
We head back to John for the 10 seed. The two we see under consideration are Lipscomb and Oklahoma. But now that we're getting to the 10 line, obviously you should feel no pressure to do those because we have a whole mess and ugly teams and holding noses and everything. So
actually, Tytel, we changed the tournament. It's 36 teams this year, so we're done. Because I don't want anybody else in this field.
Take it away, John.
I would have no problem putting a team like Lipscomb as my top 10 seed right here. And then right here, this is where you've probably got to start holding your nose. And I'll take that Oklahoma team. Ooh. And below that, I'm going to say Temple and VCU is my next two.
Oh,
my
God.
Oh, Lord.
I hate both those last two picks.
Yeah. Chad, if you can also throw NC State and TCU under consideration just so we can check out those metrics, please.
Okay. I hate those two also, by the way.
Can I throw two others in there who I also hate? But
sure.
Both of these are schizophrenic, Texas and Indiana.
Oh, my God. I hate you, David. Those were the two teams I wanted to bring up.
Stop cheating off each other's homework.
I'm beginning to wonder.
I should also add that while we're talking, Iowa is winning by 3 at Indiana with under 20 seconds to play, so yeah. We may have to factor this in as we go.
Hey, we might be able to perform a scrub.
Yeah, well, if Indiana come back and win this game, I even more so would want Indiana on this line. But
So, Chad, what do you want to do with this 10 line?
I would take Temple and VCU out. Quite honestly, I would not have VCU in this field. I would not have VCU even close to this field because unless you want to say that they're the auto bid winner, but I would give that to Davidson right now below the cut line for the first four. As far as that Temple team goes, I think that they are in the field, but they should be probably playing in Dayton. NC State.
Oh, I hate them.
I don't like it. I think that their quadrant one stuff they've got going on, I could put that on the screen here, is fake quadrant one stuff. And I don't
even – something else you could put on the screen. What they did against Virginia Tech, I think that's it. They should be relegated.
And they only have one quadrant one thing left at this point even, and that's at home win over Auburn, who barely just put in. TCU has nothing in quadrant one. That's why I do agree with David. I would take Texas and Indiana, even if they lose this game tonight. I would take Texas and Indiana here because they've both done something good.
They both are neither are without their warts. I mean, both of them you are holding your nose, but at least like I feel like if it were debate class, you could make an argument for those teams. Whereas I really just can't even do that.
Right. I mean, there are multiple wins against protective seeds on both of those resumes. Indiana has 3 of them. Texas has 3 of them. I think we made Kansas State a protected seed tonight also.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we can also make it official on another front. Bow down to Washington and their 10-0 start in Pac-12 play.
You can bank them for one seed for Vegas, I think. So we're going to keep, I think, Lipscomb and Oklahoma. We have a lot of question marks about Temple and VCU. So, David, remind me, if we take out Temple and VCU, who would your two others be?
Texas and Indiana.
Chad, who would your two be?
Texas and Indiana.
Oh, my God.
I do like a majority, so let's go with Hook'em Horns and Hoosiers.
Okay. We have Oklahoma all the way. Oh, God, I hate Oklahoma. But
Chad, we got a bunch of smelly garbage at the 11 line. That's all for you.
Okay. I'm looking
at realized something. The first four is going down into the – is it going down onto the 13 with eight at larges left?
No. I don't think it will be close. But
yeah.
There are six potential spots in the 12 line there, potential spots. But I got three teams that we have not yet discussed, and I'm probably going to hear some screams about this. But I would have Alabama here.
That was my next team.
I would have Seton Hall here.
Okay.
I would have Florida in at this point because it's such garbage. I do like their metrics. And then I would have that Temple team in that John mentioned last line. But I wouldn't even touch those other three teams on the under consideration board.
Okay. Alabama and Temple I can have. I've got two more here. One is Arkansas. I actually like them more than Florida. It's interesting when you look at them side by side because I did. And the other one – has two wins against a team that's already in the field, and they have a big road win at Murray State. I have got Belmont up here.
Over my Seton Hall and Florida teams?
Yes.
Seton Hall is the team
that – Now, okay, full disclosure, one spot ahead of your Seton Hall.
Yeah, Seton Hall is because I just think we've got to get another Big East team in. It's kind of that's kind of your line, I think. I think we have to get another Big East team in. And
who
so
is
many,
that? That is not Seton. Okay.
That's Seton Hall. But,
No. Somebody with a lot of quad four wins.
Okay. There we go. So there's Seton Hall, the Kentucky win, the win at Maryland. I wish they hadn't gotten swept by DePaul. Cringeworthy, but. Out of what you've got left there with the Creighton and the Butlers also and the Lake and the Big East, I kind of think Seton Hall's profile is the best with that Kentucky win. And Florida, I like them better also than Arkansas, although I understand David's point on them. They are both crappy garbage profiles that belong in the NIT. So, but we got to get more teams in this field. So that's where – and of course, Florida did beat Arkansas on the road head-to-head, yeah. David, once again.
Well, okay, Florida beat Arkansas, but Arkansas won at LSU. So Arkansas, by the fact that they aren't very good, has negated Florida's win and put themselves up ahead of them.
Arkansas did win at LSU.
Brilliant logic of mine.
But the thing is, they narrowly missed a bedwetting at home against Vanderbilt, which would have been disastrous for them.
Arkansas like did do a bedwetting at home against Georgia Tech.
I don't like either.
I don't think anybody that lost to Georgia Tech should ever get in the field.
Syracuse?
Okay, so back to my Belmont team. Are we liking them a little more all of a sudden?
Tytel, if you wanted to put Belmont in, I wouldn't fight you on that.
I don't love them here. I mean, they're certainly going in the right direction, have some quality wins on the profile, but that strength of schedule is pretty high. Not that Lipscomb's isn't either, because it is. I'm just not feeling it. So this was, I believe, Chad's line. So, John, of these four, how many do you want to keep?
I would agree to keep Alabama, Temple, and – as much as I don't like saying it right now, I probably would keep Seton Hall. I would keep Florida out here for the time being, but maybe put them in towards the first four later on if we need to include the Gators.
And David, how many of these four would you keep?
I would keep Seton Hall, Alabama. I would keep those two. Where did I have Temple? I think I deleted Temple by accident. Oh, well, okay. Like, I would ditch Florida and I would have Belmont up here. I could, I would dump both Temple and Florida and have Belmont and who would my next team be? VCU?
Arkansas, I thought you said.
Yeah, Arkansas, okay. Thank you.
And speaking of bad weddings, notice which Pac-12 team we have not discussed yet, and that is the Arizona State Sun Devils, who did something inexplicably bad at home tonight with a 19-point loss, I think it was, against Washington State, where they were down as much as 26.
That is remarkably bad.
I think we should have led the show with that, but I'm glad somebody brought it up eventually. So we're going to keep Alabama. We're going to keep the Hall. Due to my bias and love of Fran Dunphy, we're going to keep Temple. And I can't do Arkansas because Florida beat them. So I will give each of you one vote, please, for the fourth team besides Alabama, Seton Hall, and Temple for the 11 line.
Can, do I have to go somebody other than Florida, or can I stick with my Florida pick?
You can stick with – you okay. should.
I'll
you
stick pick with them. My Florida pick, okay.
I'm going to go with the team that won at Lipscomb, who's already up there, and who won at Murray State, which no one else has done. And I don't think anybody else we're looking at has two wins that are that good. I'm going with Belmont.
John.
I'm going to go off a different pass, and I'm going to go with TCU right here. I mean, even though Jalen Fisher's no longer on the team, they have shown that they're able to – win a few games here and there in a rough and tumble Big 12.
Can
I just address that? I don't know how much we discussed that, but again, where's the meat? And they lost to Lipscomb.
Yeah, John, when you say here and there, they can win here, but not there. They can win at home, but not anywhere else.
The only there was SMU. The only there was SMU.
Since I get to arbitrate, and since we've been shooting John's picks down left and right all night, we're going to throw him a bone and take Florida out and TCU here, please.
Oh, my God.
Was to piss off everybody all at once.
Yes!
David, you get the 12 line. Well, I think we're going to actually split it up. I want two teams from each of you for the 12 line, and we'll go in order so that if somebody picks one or both of your two, you're going to need to pick two others. We will start with David. I need two teams for the 12 line.
Okay, my next two are Arkansas, who we've talked about, and Belmont. So I think both of mine are already under consideration. Yeah.
Chad, can I get two teams not named Arkansas and Belmont?
I would go with two other teams that are on that under consideration board. Then I would go Florida and NC State.
John, can I get two teams that are not any of these four?
Any of those four. This is probably where I would hold my nose and agree that NC State probably does deserve a mention, but since I can't take Central Florida after what they did tonight, so.
Nor should you.
I'm actually going to take a UNC Greensboro over Belmont.
Ooh, interesting pick. Over Belmont? Huh. Well.
Okay, I'd agree with him on that, actually. I like Greensboro's profile better than Belmont, David, but.
Chad, you can throw Greensboro right in the 49th seed. And, John, okay. We need one more team for the 50th spot.
One more seed for the 50th spot.
Actually, if you're going that way, right, I tell you, we just ran out of at-large bids.
Stop right there, John. I'll take thoughts from each of you in the same order, David, Chad, John, about these five teams for the 12 line. David.
I like Belmont's wins. I think for the most part they've avoided bad losses. Losing at home to Jack State was bad by tournament standards, not by under-the-radar standards, but by tournament standards. But I think the win at Murray and the win at Lipscomb, I don't think anybody else that we're looking at has two wins that are as good as that, certainly not NC State.
I gotta say that I actually like this 12 line compared to everything else out there. The only team that I would have, I may have had UCF there, but they were awful tonight. I might have had Arizona there, but they lost tonight. Arizona State is the only other team that I would seriously look at here, even after the loss tonight. I would have had them a couple lines up had they not lost the game tonight. I still think that they are close. But I definitely would not scream about leaving them out after what they did tonight. And quite honestly, Tytel, my next team up after all those would be Georgetown.
Wow.
Believe it or not. And I think that's more of a sign of how bad the garbage is below where we are than that Georgetown's any good.
John, please tell me that Georgetown is not in your field.
I don't have Georgetown in my field, but if we're talking about teams with missed opportunities, Creighton missed a golden opportunity to get a win at the Pavilion last night at Villanova, where they ended up losing in overtime.
And if that we can throw, sorry, one more under consideration. I will be at the Bubble Central on Saturday for Georgetown Butler, Chad, if you can throw Butler's metrics up there just to see how they stack up.
Yeah, one more for under consideration. We will not take them, I don't think. They look like an NCAA tournament team. Their paper for the whole year isn't there. It probably won't get there, but at least they're playing like an NCAA tournament team, and I think they're going to win out, and that's Davidson.
And I agree with you. I like the way this Davidson team is playing, David, but and quite honestly, we have not put an Atlantic 10 team in this field. That 50 spot should probably be one of those two A-10 teams as the automatic bid winner. Whether it's Davidson or VCU, I guess, Tytel, you're the arbiter.
Oh, man, we don't have an A-10 team inside the bubble. Wow.
But I agree. I don't think there's an A-10 team inside the bubble. I don't think so there is.
So as to that, Ted, as of today, all four metrics say that it should be VCU, but obviously that's why they play the game, so we'll see what happens.
So VCU, there you go.
And then do you fill in the rest now, or how do we?
Yeah, as far as the rest of the lines go, let me go ahead. Yeah. I'll toss it right on.
Real quickly, we're not ignoring these teams. If you like these teams and you want to see us discuss these teams, you can watch Under the Radar. Just for the sake of this show, we're just throwing them up there.
Yeah, and there it goes. This was my picks for the rest of the field because we're not going to sit here and debate what bid Old Dominion belongs on versus New Mexico State. But it's Yale, Hofstra, Irvine, Old Dominion. You can see on the screen there all the way down to Prairie View on the very, very bottom.
Yeah. Since we got a little bit more time, we do have a selection committee guessing expert who arbitrated tonight. We're not trying to guess the committee, but what do you think they would do that's the same, John? What do you think that they would do that is different? Like, where are we? Where is the committee right, and where are they wrong? Because what we did is right, I'm convinced.
No, I mean, I think we did a great job. I'm a little biased because I never get to play arbitrator, but I think you guys all made good arguments, and I like the fact that we had a lot of majority rules because I think that's the whole point of having a committee. If it's one guy or one computer, then there is no majority. But the fact that two of you like LSU here, two of you don't like Seton Hall here, like that's why it all fits into place nicely. The metrics seem to run in place in terms of if Duke has four single-digit metrics and Iowa State has four double-digit metrics, then by definition, Duke should probably be ahead of them, which they are.
Yeah.
And I got to say, one of the things I'm very glad that came up tonight, David, was that there's absolutely no mention of Tim Miles, deservedly so.
Well, I mean, it's the dark web. It has infiltrated Nebraska.
My buzzer's still not working.
It has ripped them apart. And I'm afraid Nebraska is going to do something horrible at the end of the year, which would completely change my feelings about them.
Can I throw one other team up here that we did not discuss at all? I don't think we've discussed at all this season.
All right, get Rutgers on there. I give up.
It's not Rutgers, but it's a team that I actually looked at for the first time ever when doing one of these fields tonight. And Liberty, just nothing bad, nothing really bad again. A win at UCLA. If they win that game at Lipscomb, it's. I don't think they're really going to get there. But David, I think it's half a look, isn't it?
If they win at Lipscomb, yeah, it's worth a look. But historically, that is not a tournament. Okay, right now, Chad, like they have four wins outside of quadrant four.
Okay, well, I'll tell you that I like them better than VCU still. So I guess. Well, I guess on that note, though, what we should do is we should probably leave this up here, and we should each run through any of our final thoughts. Well, Salika, you want to start us off with final thoughts?
Well, coming up on Saturday, we're going to get an early look from the selection committee as to who their top 16 teams will be. and that will be unveiled, I think, around 12:30 on CBS before their telecast this weekend.
And you don't have to watch that. You've got them right here. Highlighted them. That's
the top. And the committee is watching. Like, we know that they're taking their cues from us. So it's one of the reasons we wanted to get this recorded tonight.
John T.
So I just want to mention, we hear all about scandals in college basketball. We have players taking money. We have coaches doing stuff. Just this week, we saw Silvio De Sousa at Kansas find out that he's ineligible this year and next year. Arizona just lost yet another assistant coach. I wonder how many Sean Miller has left. Today, we took it up to a whole nother level. I think it was actually mentioned yesterday, the news came out that former New Mexico athletic director Paul Krebs, who served on the selection
committee. Former committee member, yeah.
For the NCAA tournament, has been charged with multiple felonies relating to a $64,000 golf trip to Scotland. This is serious stuff. He faces up to 15 years in prison. I still love college basketball, but it seems like every year it gets dirtier and dirtier. And just when you think it can't get any dirtier, it gets dirtier.
I agree with Tytel's sentiments, although I kind of have to say that, like, I think it's been dirty for a long time, and not that I like to see this kind of stuff, but I in a weird way, I think it's a little bit refreshing. Some of these people, now Paul Krebs, I don't know him from, but especially there's some people around college basketball that need to get out of it. And I think that we're finally, hopefully, starting to cleanse it a little bit and clean it up, because it's always I've always said it's the sport of dicks, pardon my English, but it is, and you deal with a lot of slimeball bad people, and it would be nice to get them out of the game. But anyway, I had a final thought, but I forgot what it was. It must not have been that important. It must have been not very insightful.
It was more about the sport of dicks. Okay, we got it. We did go ahead. We're going to go ahead and bracket up what we just did tonight.
Oh, it's down there.
See that bracket down there. Hopefully you didn't look at it already before you watched the show, because you just wasted your last hour watching the show. But on behalf of David Griggs, John Salica, John Tytel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again with more podcasts next week.